Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to
Welcome
the next level.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Well, that man had the nerve to take all the words right out of my mouth. Yes, I am David Clark, and I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind. And in so doing, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do, once again, is keep that mind open so that you can see where you can find common ground in order to relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special guest is Kevin Kita. He is a chiropractor, author, an international speaker, a blogger, a narrator, and a health and wellness expert. He's been on numerous radio and television shows for being interviewed for his book, Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, Chiropractic and Other Health-Related Issues. He's considered a mind-body connection expert. He has thousands of fans on Facebook, thousands of followers on Twitter, and over 5,000 connections on LinkedIn. And his YouTube videos have been seen by over 300,000 times. Now, you can contact him through his email address. And if you don't get this now, we'll repeat it later. It's Chiro Doctor, that's C-H-I-R-O-D-R. At Verizon.net. For those of you who aren't familiar with Verizon, it's V like Victor, E-R-I-Z like Zebra, O-N.net. So that's ChiroDoctor at Verizon.net. And if you contact him, you'll be able to set up an interview time with him. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Kevin Kita. How are you tonight, Kevin?
David, I'm doing great. Just glad to talk to you tonight.
Well, thank you for your flexibility as far as the show time goes. I'm glad that I was able to accommodate you this week, and my apologies for the mix-up, but that happens.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So anyhow, I would love to have you tell us about your book. You and I were talking a little bit about it beforehand, and I'll have follow-up questions for you, but would you be willing to tell us what the premise of your book is and where it's available, and then let's get into talking about the meat and potatoes of the book.
Sure. My book, Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit, what started happening was I had a lot of stories that I thought people would be interested in, and patients would hear the stories that I was telling in my office, and they said, you ought to write a book. And I really don't know, I mean, I really don't know much about writing a book or anything in, you know, in that nature, but I did get around to writing a book about these stories that have happened in my office, because some of them are pretty unbelievable. And the book is based on six different stories that have true stories that have happened in my office, and each chapter has one of the six major emotions that I find in my office that's causing people to have chronic illnesses or just physical problems. And the six emotions are anger, fear, resentment, criticism, and then the last two, low self-esteem and unforgiveness, are the two major ones when people have a low self-esteem of themselves and are unforgiving of themselves or somebody else, there's usually a major illness that's coincides with that. So each chapter is dedicated to a different story, and each story coincides with one of those emotions. And that's how, and the book is written in such a way that it's very simple and easy to read. It's not a medical, there's no medical jargon in it. It's a very short, concise, easy read. Most people actually read it numerous times.
I like that because it is short and sweet and to the point. And I think that so many times people can complicate the bejesus out of a subject and spend 300 or 400 pages discussing one subject. And you are very concise. You boil it down to the nuts and bolts. And the readers will come away with a great sense of being able to relate, because everybody, for whatever reason, has self-esteem issues. And you shed a lot of light on how that can affect people at a body level, not to mention other ways.
Right. Yeah, the book, it's kind of interesting, like you were saying in the beginning. You know, I really made it short and concise. But in order to make a book short and concise, it actually is a lot more difficult to really, you know, filter out a lot of things and get really into the main part of, you know, what the book's about. Because I actually rewrote that book. I actually rewrote Healing Journeys 24 times before I actually got it right. So there's a lot of thought behind it.
Well, I can believe that, and I'm sure a lifetime of experience with patients. And how does your own personal story relate to some of the things that you talk about in the book? Let's take a little bit of a spiritual journey and begin wherever you're comfortable beginning.
Sure. Well, it's interesting how things happen, because, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
I used to help teach at different seminars, and at these chiropractic seminars, everything was trying to complicate things. You know, I thought if I use the technique that I use now and just reread and remember all of the anatomy books I have, and the physiology and all the chemistry of the body, then that would be such a great help to the people that came in my office. And I've had a lot of chiropractors, and they still do, they ask me, you know, Dr. Keita, what are you working on? And back then it would always be something that dealt with the physical realm. And what happened was I had all these books on my desk, I mean, piled up, and I was like determined to memorize, you know, all the anatomy books and all the anomalies, David, that after a while I thought to myself, you know, this isn't where it's at, because what I'm doing is I'm making things more complex. You know, there must be simpler. There must be a simpler way. And I had, I would say kind of a spiritual awakening maybe about 2 years ago, when I was walking in a park, and it was early in the morning, and I just couldn't believe, you know, looking, I mean, this sounds funny, but I was looking at a tree, and the tree just, the leaves, everything just shined at a certain, it looked like it was on fire, actually. And I'm like, going, this, you know, man, you know, a man could never duplicate this. Nobody could ever duplicate this, because, I mean, when you really think about it, you could never arrange all the leaves to, in a certain pattern for that to happen, and that kind of stopped me in my tracks. And since then, through just kind of stepping back and looking at things differently, what I figured out was that I need to work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I need to heal myself, work on myself, heal my body, mind, and spirit. Because when I heal myself, the people that come in my office will be able to better heal themselves. Because everything's a reflection. So if I'm healing myself, the people coming to my office will be able to be much more able to heal themselves using myself as an example. So
yes.
That's what I start working on. And that doesn't mean when I tell that to people, people think like I'm chronically sick or I have some physical malady. But last time I was sick, physically sick, was 1988. So this is not physical. This is, emotional, spiritual, and really focusing on that and really look inside yourself to heal myself, to then be better able to help other people heal. So that's really my spiritual journey, and I've been working. I do it every day. It's not like this stops. I think the biggest thing I learned is that we're not who we. Most people don't even know who they really are.
That's right.
We are like, if I asked you who you are, you would give me your name, but you're more than that. And then your background. So really, who you are?
I might not.
We're all really light beings.
Yes.
We're supposed to shine our light.
Yes.
But what happens a lot of times is that our light starts to kind of be blocked because of these negative emotions like fear, anger, low self-esteem. That starts blocking the light. That starts blocking your light, so you don't shine as brightly. So what I do is, especially every morning, I kind of take a walk and or meditate and take inventory of anything that is blocking me from shining my light. For instance, if I feel like I'm in a state of fear, that will cast a shadow, that will block some of my light, but that will also cast a shadow on anybody that I come in contact with, whether it's a patient or somebody outside my office.
That's right. We have such a tremendous impact on each other. As you said, we reflect what the other person is. I think, in my experience, and pardon the interruption, there's some very strong energies in some people, stronger than others. And what they project, the person who's not as strong tends to reflect and take it on, because a lot of people are naturally empathic, and some people don't even realize that potential. But I just wanted to comment that I can relate to everything you said. I don't find anything unusual about that epiphany when you saw that tree that appeared like a burning tree or burning bush, if you will, to use that as a metaphor. And as a wounded healer myself, I can well relate to the benefit that my healing can have to the people that I work with in spirit life coaching or have worked with when I was a social worker, and actually learned from my clients those things within myself that I needed to heal from people that had mental illness or that had addiction problems, because I experienced both of those in my past, and those are long gone. So I digress. I hope that I haven't thrown you off track from where you wanted to go, but I did want to make that comment.
No, I totally agree with that. And when you become more aware of your surroundings, like you said, the people that come in front of you, every relationship we have is for learning. So what any relationship you have, you're supposed to learn something from it, whether it's good or bad. And a lot of times, believe it or not, somebody that might, say, anger me, they're actually doing me a favor because there's some sort of spot, sore spot in me that's causing me to be angry, and they're pointing it out. It's not them that's making
no,
me angry.
That's right.
Itself. And it, what that's about, it's not, it's also in my book, I talk about something called countertransference. Countertransference is when the doctor or the healthcare practitioner is actually being healed or getting more out of the session from that person. Like, the person that comes in the office is actually helping them out more than the doctor or the healthcare practitioner is helping them out in some cases, as they're pointing out, you know, our weaknesses.
Yes. Well, that's the amazing way things work, and so many people, for whatever reason, never figure it out.
Right. The other thing is, you're talking about, you know, reflections. Well, I think the higher you spiritually go, the more. Or the higher you develop your spirituality, the more you realize that this thing called reflective awareness.
Yes, yes.
That everybody is a reflection of you. So if you're healed, you can be able to better heal other people. If you're showing love and compassion to every person you meet, it's strange how all of a sudden everybody kind of changes. They show love and compassion to you.
That's right.
And what happens is, what I've heard when I tell people this, you know, they start just showing love to everybody, and they'll come back to me and they go, that's funny, you know, my mother changed, you know, her attitude toward me. And I go, no, your mother didn't change. It was you that changed.
That's right. Well, you know, I heard it said and have experienced this, that when somebody is giving you figurative shit in whatever fashion, that it's really a cry for help. The Course in Miracles talks about that, that people are just looking to be loved. And when you can look at them as having some wounds and in need of compassion and look at them with eyes of love instead of reacting and matching their anger with more anger or judgment or what have you, that you can have a shift. And when you were talking about fear, it reminded me of the great mystic Anthony de Mello, who was a Jesuit who had grown up in India and joined the Jesuit tradition. And he wrote a number of spiritual books. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but at any rate, he maintains there are only two conditions, fear and love, and whatever is negative stems from fear. What do you think about that?
I would say that's accurate, but I think the other part is, well, just to really boil it down, I would say that is probably the two things, love and fear. People think hate is the opposite of love, but fear is the opposite of love.
And fear begets hate.
Right. And I think the other thing that I found in my work as a chiropractor, and even your occupation, anybody's occupation, the more you really love what you're doing, you realize that it's really not work. It becomes more of a spiritual journey.
Absolutely. And like Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. And a lot of people don't have a clue what that is. And so people need to do what in order to find their bliss so that they can enjoy their work?
Well, most people don't find their bliss because they compare themselves to other people. So
excuse that motorcycle.
If I was to compare myself
to you. Studio is in my home, folks, and the dog was barking downstairs and the motorcycle just was very rude. So please continue.
So most people compare themselves with other people. So I can't I will never be like you, no matter how much I try. And part of that, like your highest priority or your highest value for what you want to do in life is not going to match my highest value. My highest value, our highest priority is going to be different.
So yes.
And what happens with most people, like you're saying, they don't know what their bliss is. And the reason why is they constantly compare themselves to other people. Like, I should be more successful as you know, Tom down the street. While Tom is probably following his values and really working at a job that he really likes, and that's why he's successful. And that's his niche. But most people are afraid to, you know, really go to their highest value. One of the
when they do that, they're judging themselves.
Right, and they lessen themselves. They minimize themselves. It's kind of like when we put celebrities on a pedestal. When you put a celebrity on a pedestal, all you're doing is minimizing your work, your life's work. I was going to say something else. The highest priority. That was the other thing that you had said earlier. When somebody has strong energy, they will overpower the other person. That's kind of the same thing with when somebody's trying to follow their bliss, but they don't follow their bliss. Somebody else will put values on them. You know, like our parents are like that. They'll say, "Oh, you should become a lawyer." You know, and that's not necessarily what I want to become. I want to become a chiropractor instead. But you become a lawyer instead of becoming a chiropractor. Well, all your life you could just be in this very depressed mood. The other thing is, when you don't follow your bliss, you fall into, that's how I think most people fall into addiction, because people will be addicted to, you know, multiple things, drugs, alcohol, multitude of things. And what they're doing is they're trying to increase their dopamine levels in their brain to make them feel better. But that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as actually, you know, following your bliss.
And, you know, I think it's important to point out to people that there's so many things they can attach themselves to besides, you know, chemical addictions, and whatever that might be creates those dopamine levels in the brain. For instance, sexual addiction, gambling, food, compulsive shopping, workaholism, compulsive religiosity, compulsive exercising, all of those things can be attachments whereby a person is trying to fill themselves up on the inside from the outside and always coming up feeling like something's missing. What's missing?
Right. That's absolutely right. I mean, people think it's just drugs and alcohol. It's a lot of things. Now, most people are so addicted to their phone, for that matter.
Yeah, and when you start pointing a finger at a drug addict and saying, "What a low life," I'd suggest, once again, as we were talking about earlier, you were talking about comparing yourself to others or blaming somebody else for something that's really your own. I think that when you point one finger at somebody else, there's a finger pointing back at you, and you need to take a look at what needs healing within yourself. Perhaps you're labeling the drug addict as a low life, but maybe you've got a severe sexual problem or a gambling addiction or who knows what. I mean, a lot of more seemingly benign things that people attach themselves to.
Mm-hmm. Well, addiction, the word addiction, you know, addiction means speak, and add your speak.
What does it mean?
Addiction means speak.
Ah.
So
I never knew that.
And add means toward, so you're actually speaking to yourself rather than speaking to your higher self, God, universal intelligence, you know, whatever you call it. So you're speaking to yourself and you're speaking to your ego, rather than speaking to your higher self.
Right. Well, that, again, that comes down to ego versus spirit. You know, we're,
right.
I maintain on the show that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience, and that it's important to honor the divine within us, and so many people never get to that point. And just to let the callers know, I'm aware that we have someone on the line, and we will get to you. If you have questions or want to talk with Dr. Keita, we will get to you. So please continue.
And then getting back to the reflective awareness, and you, when you really do follow your bliss and your higher priority in your life, you realize that it's more of a your vocation or what you do for a living becomes more of a spiritual activity. You realize that you need to serve as many people as possible because you're, you know, everybody's there's always a little part of you in somebody else. So when you serve other people, you're really just serving yourself and helping yourself out.
It benefits everybody, though.
Right. It benefits everybody, but it, most importantly, it benefits your, well, the bigger piece of it is that you're benefiting your yourself.
Right, right. Well, you have to take care of number one first, or you have nothing left, really, to give to anybody else.
Right.
And I just wanted to let you know a couple of the directions I'd like to take, because we're at, almost at the halfway mark. I'd like to talk about your journey to chiropractic from hotel, as you were telling me about earlier, and how that became part of your spiritual journey, even if you hadn't had your spiritual epiphany at that point in time. To reflect back on that, and the other thing has escaped me, but please continue.
Well, how I became a chiropractor, like everything else, David, is literally by accident. I used to work for a major hotel chain. I used to, believe it or not, I used to cook in restaurants and manage different restaurants, and at this hotel, about 50 to 60 people. But one day when I was leaving work, I got in a car accident. And it was a bad car accident. But luckily, when the policeman stopped and was checking me out, he goes, "You're all right?" And I go, and I was kind of surprised. I was all right. I, you know, got out of the car and I felt fine. But what I tell people in my office is, if you're in a car accident, you should always take people's information down, because a lot of times the effects of a car accident don't happen until maybe a couple days down the road, and if, and sometimes even weeks for that matter. So what happened to me is about 3 weeks later, I started getting a really bad headache. I was in such excruciating pain. And I'm not somebody that is, you know, that, I mean, I have a very high pain tolerance. This pain level was so high that I actually had to leave work early, which was the first time I ever left work early. So when I went home, this was a Saturday afternoon, when I went home, it was about 4 o'clock. I laid in bed from that 4 o'clock in the afternoon all the way till 7 in the morning, but I didn't sleep. I was in so much pain. And what happened was, the next day, got an appointment with my family doctor, and this was a Sunday, so it was I had to go to this different office and meet with this medical doctor, and I couldn't even drive. I had to be driven there. I did late.
Yeah, wow.
It was just so painful. That's how bad it was. So I get to the doctor's office. He checks me out. He's, you know, looking in my eyes, you know, opening my mouth, blood pressure, pulse, you know, doing all the reflex tests, you know, and just doing a multitude of tests. And so, and about 45 minutes later, I asked him, I go, "So what's wrong with me?" He goes, "Nothing." And I go, "What do you mean nothing? I am in so much pain." So what he did was he gave me some painkillers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I said, I didn't like taking any sort of drugs for anything, because a lot of times it just masks things. So I took some, and it didn't cut the pain at all. It was so painful. So at the time, the pain was still really, really bad, and somebody had suggested I go to a chiropractor. And I'm like thinking to myself, why the hell would I go to a chiropractor for? I didn't even know what a chiropractor was. I thought it was something to do with your feet or something, you know,
like
a podiatrist. Uh-huh. But I was in so much pain that I just relented and I said, whatever, I'm going to go see this chiropractor. So he adjusted me. His name's Arno Bernier. He was practicing. It just so happened he was practicing literally the next town over. So he adjusted me, and the pain subsided by about 90%. It was, like, unbelievable. I'm like going, oh, my gosh, thank God. And I wasn't really happy with my job at the hotel. And Arno started teaching me a lot about the chiropractic philosophy, which is more of a holistic approach, but it's really clearing the nervous system of any nerve interference so that your body can heal itself on its own, because our body knows how to heal itself. And he suggested, oh, why don't you become a chiropractor? And I thought to myself, well, you know, that only take a weekend course or maybe a month-long course. But then I looked into it. It's actually about 5 years of going to school. It's a lot more in-depth than what most people realize. It's you take the same amount of coursework as a medical doctor, if not a little bit more. So that's how I became a chiropractor, and I've been a chiropractor for the past 18 years.
That's a fascinating story. It's amazing how life circumstances can bring us into totally new realms of experience.
Right.
And I wondered at this point if you would put out both your email address and website address for people and tell us where your book is available. And again, it's Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit by Dr. Kevin Kita, K-I-T-A.
My email address is Cairo, that's C-H-I-R-O, Dr. D-R, at Verizon.net. That's V-E-R-I-Z-O-N.net. And my website is www.drkevinkita.com. You can also Google my name. There's a lot of things that will come up on Google. You can see some of my YouTube videos and some of the blogs that I've posted.
Yeah, for those of you who are tuning in late, Dr. Kita has been seen, his YouTube videos have been seen over 300,000 times. So this is a man who has been recognized as an expert. And your book is available where?
Book is available on Amazon. You can also purchase it through my website. And there's a few, if you look on my website, there are a few local bookstores that also have it. You can actually get it through Barnes & Noble, but only online.
Yes, you can go into Barnes & Noble, and they can get any book that's available you know, through Amazon. So, folks, if you prefer to go to a brick-and-mortar bookstore, you can do that.
Yeah, so that's the easiest way of getting Healing Journeys, Stories of Mind, Body, and Spirit.
Well, before we go to the caller, we just have one, and that's okay. We may have more listeners. And if there's anybody listening, and I'm sure you're out there, I always have a lot of live listeners. But if you would like to talk to Dr. Kita, please press 1. And if that doesn't work, call back in and press 1. The number is 646-727 3116 and press 1. Let's talk a little bit more about the mind-body connection and how that affects physical problems. We've talked a little bit about that, but I'd like to get into it more in depth. And you talked about emotions, both on the show and in the book, different things that we feel that have negative energy attached to them. But it's my premise, and I'd be interested in what you have to say, it's my premise that it all begins in the mind with a single thought that triggers the emotion. What do you think about that?
I would think that's very, very accurate.
Emotion
is emotion, so energy in motion. So if you have a negative emotion, that energy is not going to be moving around your body. There's some sort of disconnect. Because when somebody is healed, that actually healed, the word healed actually comes from the Greek word halen, which means whole. So when you're healed or you're healing, you're coming back to wholeness or you are whole. Sickness or disease is a separation, so it's a separation from the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times I see that it's some emotional upset, and that's causing a disconnect in the body. And what happens is, you know, I adjust somebody's spine or their body to put everything into place so there's no nerve interference on the physical level. But the problem is, if there's an emotional trauma or emotional stress, anytime this person keeps holding on to that and doesn't let it go, no matter how I adjust somebody, it's always going to pull out. So, for instance, if somebody comes in and they have low back pain, for instance, and I adjust them and they go, wow, I feel really good. And then they come back and they go, you know, it's out again. And then, see, part of what I do is I'm intuitive. So I can intuitively find out what the emotion is that's causing the vertebra or the bones to misalign to cause this problem. So my job is to find out what the underlying cause is. Most of the time it's an emotional trauma or stress. And then I adjust the body to get the energy moving again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the adjustment holds.
Mm-hmm.
And this also, it's not just the adjustment either. Like when somebody comes in, you know, I give an adjustment, they feel really good. This also has to do with, you know, nutrition, exercise. Like, for instance, I've had people come in who have a perfect diet. They exercise all the time. They look like, you know, a fitness model or a movie star. I mean, they just look so physically fit. Yet they have a very serious illness like cancer. I remember somebody coming in my office and this person was saying, I eat a really good diet, I exercise on a daily basis, I take supplements, yet I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And I said, what I picked up was this woman needed to forgive her mother.
And
I said, that's the disconnect. No matter what you put in, you can have the perfect lifestyle, but if you have this emotional stress, all that will not work for you because the cortisol levels and the stress levels are not going to let you be able to take advantage of, you know, the exercise, your diet, and the other things that this person was doing until they forgave their mother, which makes sense. You know, what's cancer cells? You have healthy cells in the body and then cancerous cells. And outside your body, you have a healthy relationship and a disconnected relationship from the whole. So as soon as you bring in the outside relationship, to a whole by forgiving that person, the other person, and forgiving a lot of times yourself, that could be a problem. Then your body will be better able to heal itself back to whole.
Well, it seems to me that ultimately forgiveness, the pathway to forgiveness is forgiving yourself, because if you're holding the grudge against your mother, you may just think that you've got an anger issue with your mother, but at another level, you may feel guilty about feeling angry. You know, it's compounded. And
right.
Before we go to the caller, you talked about being an intuitive, and that's a spiritual gift that many people never develop or don't even realize that they possess, because they're so out of touch, they're so spiritually misaligned. And I'm an intuitive and an empath and a few other things, and that doesn't matter. But the point is that these are spiritual gifts that people can come to realize if they follow a spiritual path. And I'm wondering how you came to get in touch with your intuition, or if you've always been intuitive.
I never was intuitive per se. I would say the past 9 years, my intuition started opening up. People would come in the office and I could pinpoint right away what was going on. Then my intuition was starting to unfold. And like most, and what started happening was I go, wow, you know, if I use my intuition, I can really help some people out. And one of the questions I had for myself was how, you know, I'm just starting to learn to become more intuitive. I need some way of shortcutting it, like have somebody teach me how to become more intuitive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, once I say that, you know, that when the student's ready, the teacher appears, and
right.
the next week, this woman showed up, and my friend Barbara Rose, and she happened to teach with the, learn from the kahunas in Hawaii, and she knows about intuition and a lot of spiritual matters, and I remember, David, what I had said to her. I said, Barbara, why can't I become, you know, what's blocking me from becoming more intuitive? Like, and I remember what she had said. She had said, the reason why you think you can't become more intuitive is because you think you can't become more intuitive. You're putting limits on yourself. And as soon as she said that, my intuition just exponentially grew so fast, very within days. And that's part of what intuition is. Intuition is being present. Intuition is inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
When you're present, when you're really present in your present mind, like when I'm talking to you, when I'm in the present, in the now moment, your intuition just increases because you're right there.
Right.
And you also have to be very, I actually teach some intuitive course, like one intuitive course, and people ask me, you know, how do you become more intuitive? And one of the things is everybody's intuitive. They just block it, just like you were saying before. Most people
yes.
just block it because they're never in their present mind. They're always thinking about the past and worried about the future and never really in the present state of mind. That's one thing. And the other thing is when you're not in your present mind, you're going to be in your ego mind, and the ego blocks anything coming towards you, and it blocks your intuition. The other thing is you need to be grateful for everything you receive. And when you're grateful, messages or intuitive messages really come toward you a lot easier.
Yes.
The other thing about being in a gracious state or being in an attitude of gratitude, it puts you in a present mindset. So that's kind of how my intuition became about, and and what I've learned from it. Because most people that are very intuitive, like yourself, it's because you took the limits off you.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you say about attitude of gratitude. That sounds like 12-step program to me. And I'm a 12-stepper. And I believe that gratitude is the gateway to abundance. It's one of the keys to the kingdom, if you will. And when you can count every blessing, however small it is, then you will align yourself in a very positive fashion, where you'll be setting off positive vibrations and attract more positivity, I believe. And I'd be interested in your belief, and then I think we should move on and take the caller, because I have there's so many things I'd like to discuss with you that I'd like to have you back again next year and to delve into some of these areas a little more and talk about whatever writing or projects you're working on, and also refresh people about your book, if you'd be open to that.
I'm perfectly open to that. It sounds really good to me. What
good.
You were saying about gratitude, you're absolutely right. The more grateful you are, the more things you'll be grateful for. People don't realize what abundance they actually do have in their life. That's one of the problems. You know, everybody thinks that they need more of this. You know, if they just have this, then they'll be fine. And then then they get that, and then they're not fine. They need something else. And instead of being grateful for what they do have, the other things that they really want all of a sudden appear.
Right.
You know, miraculously.
Amazing. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So. Well, shall we take a call?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Actually, we had a couple of callers, and to the person that disappeared, please, if there was a technical problem, call back in and press 1. The number is on your screen, 646-727-3116. And I invite anybody else that's listening. Dr. Keith is open to speaking with callers. And right now, I don't know your name, but I'm going to area code 239. And I'm bringing you up. The studio is being slow, so bear with me. If you can hear me, speak out, and if I can't hear you, it means that I have to try again. So apparently I have to try again. Please be patient. I'm going to mute you for a minute, but I'm not going to cut you off. You're just not going to be able to hear me, and then I will try to bring you live again. And don't worry, you will get to hear the program, but for a moment you won't hear it. Hold on, please. Well, okay, now let me try again. Okay, come on. The studio is something else sometimes. Oh, that poor caller. Well, let's see, here we go. There we go. Area code 239. Thank you for your patience. What is your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Diana in Southwest Florida.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
well, one of these days I'll recognize your number. So say hello to Dr. Keita, and feel free to comment or ask him any questions you'd like.
Well, earlier today I was wondering when am I going to get to talk to a chiropractor? I was cleaning out my books, and I have 5 really good chiropractic books. The Dynamic Essentials Seminar and the Chiropractic Education and Research Articles and the Principal Practice Procedure. So I don't know if the doctor is even interested in these, but these are holistic healing at its best, I thought. And the reason I got them was I just wanted to add it to my naturopathic degree and what I was studying for the boards. So I thought the more I know, the better. So I'm ready to release them if anybody's interested. And my other question was, where's your practice?
I practice in a town called Mooresville, Pennsylvania. Mooresville, Pennsylvania is about 30 miles north of Philadelphia.
Okay, well, then you're not close to Southwest Florida. It's been a while. A chiropractor actually saved me a few times. So I definitely agree with it. And I remember the first time I went. It was one that also did acupuncture, and I'm like, I'm here for acupuncture only. I don't want any of that bone popping. This is like 50 years ago when I said that.
Right.
But as soon as I found out how you could relieve a headache, it was just like, the things that are wrong with me, I need the Kindle 2 table. So whenever I search out for a chiropractor, they got to have that Kindle 2 table. So,
right. The technique that
anyway.
I use is very low force, Diane. It's so low. I use an instrument called an arthrostim, and it's so low force that most people don't even think that I'm adjusting them. But the reason why it's low force is because this instrument actually relaxes the body so that the bone moves back into place much easier, gentler.
Well, with the Kindle table, the chiropractor that I had could put little spots in, you know, like if it was just the right hip and the left knee and just the, so he'd only put in what needed to be put in. And I couldn't take any of that forceful stuff because the forceful chiropractors usually would lay me back down and I'd be 3 days on ice packs. So
I use forceful adjustments.
Great.
Well,
okay.
Dr. Keita, I've known Diana a while. She's been a fan of the show, and she actually appeared on the show last Thursday, I believe it was. And she is a very gifted person who is an angel reader. And Diana, I'm just wondering, since we don't have much time left, if there's anything that you would like to reflect upon that Dr. Keita and I have talked about, and then I'm going to come back to you, Dr. Keita, Kevin, if I may call you that, and ask you to sum up your book for people that may have tuned in late.
No, I'm enjoying, and I also put in a request. Please let him have on a good somebody that's interesting tonight because it's raining, there's nothing to do, and you had an interesting show and you had a chiropractor. So
if you know
of anybody interested in these books, get with David because these are really good old chiropractic education research articles and dynamic essential seminars and procedures and all and 101 ways to attract new clients. So, you know, it's pretty good stuff. So I really enjoyed listening to you, and I better let you go so you can finish doing your stuff.
Well, thank you, Diana, for calling in tonight, and it's a joy to have you on the show as always.
Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
Thank you for calling in.
So, anyhow, we have at least 5 minutes left. What else would you like to share about your book, and maybe you could summarize the premise of the book, and then if we have time, we can talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. To summarize the book, it's about how people suffer from health problems that are caused by past emotional traumas or thinking patterns. But most often, people don't have any understanding of the real underlying cause of their physical symptoms, and so they have no way or no idea how to help them heal themselves. So my book, Healing Journeys, A Story of Mind, Body, and Spirit, not only is it 6 chapters, and each chapter is about a different emotion and a different true story that had happened in my office, but I forgot to say in the beginning that after each chapter, there are little tools that you can use to overcome these negative emotions. There's lessons, you might say, and aids to help you overcome some of these negative emotions. And they're very simple exercises you can do. And that's why with my book, a lot of people reread the book a lot of times because they want to reread the exercises so that they can use them when something might pop up in their life. And that's really the short, concise explanation of my book.
Well, I love tools. We all need them, and the simpler the better, because we're all little children at a certain level, especially when we're delving into an area that's new to us. And for many people, mind, body, spirit is an alien concept, or perhaps people are not present to the moment and out of touch with the power of their mind, or with the chitter-chatter that goes on in there, or the way it can trigger negative emotions and bodily discomforts. And so I find it fascinating, and everything is intertwined, you know. And even though you talked about how we're all unique, in a sense we're all one, because we're sharing a human experience and we're connected at a source level, whether you want to call it God or humanity or what have you. We are one at a basic level, and it's
right.
You know, like all the colors of the rainbow, we all form this beautiful tapestry of the human experience, or the God experience, if you will.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said. It's, we're all different, but we're all one at the same time, so it's kind of ironic how that works out.
Well, one last thing that we could talk about. You talk about chakras in your book. We don't have much time remaining unless you want to run over a little bit, which is fine. Would you talk about the importance of chakras at a spiritual or at a mind, body, and spirit level?
Well, chakras are seven different energy centers in the body, and what happens is sometimes the chakras, well, two things that happen. One, they can become not as open. They become closed, not fully closed, because if it's fully closed, that means you're not alive, because you can't have a fully closed chakra. It's just not as open as it should be. But then the other thing with chakras is sometimes they can be too open. So, for instance, your heart chakra, sometimes somebody could have a heart chakra that is closed off a little bit because they've had heartbreak, or they don't want to be loved, or they don't feel loved themselves. So that could be an example of a closed or a semi-closed heart chakra. But then the opposite of that is having your heart chakra too open. And what I mean by that is people that sympathize with other people, and they're constantly overly sympathetic toward other people. And what happens is it's because your heart chakra is too open. And then you take on their energy, and it literally drains mm-hmm. you. You can have a very draining experience every time you come in contact with somebody that you really sympathize with. So what I do is with my technique, is I also try and balance the chakras. Most of the time, it doesn't show up that many times that somebody's chakras are off, but it does happen. When, just like I said, it's either not as open as it should be, or it's too open. So that's kind of how my work with the chakras happens.
Well, thank you for that. Again, I'm talking with Dr. Kevin Keita tonight, and he will be back on the show again, and we're going to take another spiritual journey at that point in time. And I will call you after the show, Dr. Keita, and we can line up a date. How does that sound?
That sounds great to me. And I'm
all righty. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's been a real joy, and I've learned, as I always do, you know, you said when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I say the question is, who's the student and who's the teacher? We all learn from each other.
Right. There is no difference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where humility comes into play. That is something that I encourage everybody to work at, because when that ego is going, oh boy, then your spiritual energy can go out the door. Talk about being drained.
Right.
So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, David.
My pleasure. Well, once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.